Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So, new stuff happening in the world of finance, more specifically, government and finance, where they intersect. And one of those places, in a very significant way that affects a lot of people, is Social Security. Changes are afoot. Now, do not despair. They're not taking it away. They are making some changes that affect a minority of Social Security beneficiaries, especially people in the future. So we're going to dig into this to end the suspense. They're changing some of the strategies that you can use to get more out of Social Security if you're able to delay it, and some of the different techniques, especially for couples. So to help us kind of dig in and unravel and learn the secrets of the universe and Social Security is the one and only Dr. Wade Fowl. He is a PhD and chartered financial analyst, and we've had Wade on the program, very well received previous interviews, so we're very glad to have him back. Professor of Retirement Income in the new PhD program for Financial and Retirement Planning at the American College. And if I had a clone, I would send him to go get that PhD, but there's only one of me, too, so I'm not going to be able to do that right now. But Wade is the founder of Retirement Researcher, a great website, by the way. Go to the website, retirementresearcher.com. And, you know, I know a lot about financial stuff, but when I need to figure out something or I need help, Wade's the guy I go to get help on his expert opinion. So that tells you how I feel about Wade. Wade has been very well recognized and received in the financial community for just a continuing stream of contributions to the research and the intellectual analysis of various financial and planning techniques. And his research has appeared in many outlets, including The Economist, Wall Street Journal, Money Magazine, New York Times, and Smart Money, just to name a few. And Wade has his doctorate in economics from Princeton University. And so we're very glad to have Wade on the program. Welcome back, Wade.
Thank you, David. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm very pleased to have you back with us, because you're the guy to help me help people understand these changes to Social Security. And, you know, I've always been one to argue that, you know, whatever rules and regulations and whatever is available as options for a person within the system, as long as you're not cheating, as long as you're not breaking the rules, that, you know, the rules are what they are, and you can use them to your benefit. And much of the discussion about Social Security involves some of these rules that were put in place that have been used by people to try to get more out of Social Security. And so that it would appear that, you know, this latest round of changes that was passed by Congress, and it's been official, right? It's been signed by the president?
Right. Uh-huh.
Okay, so we have a new rule that takes away some of these techniques. So if you would, from your vantage point of, you know, watching this over the years and, of course, studying it intently with some of these recent changes, give people kind of a big picture of some of the changes that have occurred, and then we'll dig into what that really means for people and their planning going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the first thing to recognize is that this really will affect a relatively small percentage of the population, and the percentage that's going to be affected will tend to be higher income folks who are working with good financial advisors such as yourself, who knew about some special strategies that, for the most part, the general public doesn't know about. Well, I'm an advocate of the idea that you should at least, with a household, the higher earner in the couple should seriously consider delaying their Social Security benefit until age 70.
Yeah.
And the story and reasoning behind that hasn't changed.
Okay.
But what's changing now is that there was the possibility to get an even extra bonus or perk that made delaying Social Security even better. And some of those extra advantages are going to be slowly phased out at this point.
Okay. So it doesn't affect most people. You know, and I am often asked these the same questions that you are, Wade. I do get a lot of the same questions, especially when I do a presentation, or I have readers or listeners write in and ask questions about, you know, the timing of when to draw Social Security. But the statistically, I think you cited a statistic that kind of puts this in perspective, that it's only about 9% of Social Security beneficiaries delay past their full retirement age, which for a lot of people is 66. So, you know, we're only talking about less than 10% of Social Security beneficiaries who actually delay beyond 66, and that's who's most affected by these changes, correct?
Right. It's only going to apply to individuals who are delaying past 66 in the first place. And
okay.
Right. There's a small percentage of the public that does that. It's been slowly increasing as more and more people have been talking about the value of delaying. But it's more a matter of going from around 5% of the population to 10% of the population.
Well, not to be too snarky about it, but the reason why people are finding out about it is, you know, there's been a lot done. So it's like lifting an aircraft carrier into the sky with the latest Avenger movie that, you know, that they all of a sudden the financial industry found out that people care about Social Security and that talking about how they can get more out of it became this huge media blitz and a way to drive people to come to a seminar and learn how you can get more money out of Social Security. And so that's where a lot of the attention came from. Financial people like to have something to talk about. But the reality, as you very well put, Wade, is it's less than 10% that are going to delay past 66. And interestingly, if we break it down even further, you know, a lot of people, a very large percentage of Social Security beneficiaries, take it at the first opportunity, which is for most people age 62. So,
right.
You know, it's
right.
We're talking about some interesting allocation. Do you remember off the top of your head? I think I'll take a guess at it if you don't know the exact number. But what percentage of beneficiaries take it at 62? Isn't it something like 50%?
Right. It was about half of the population for a long time.
Okay.
And just the last couple of years is part of the same message.
Yes.
It has come down a little bit, closer to 40%. But yeah,
okay,
for a long
so,
time, right at 50%.
All right. I'll do some math then. 40% take it at 62. 10% take it after 66 and everybody else. The other 50% take it somewhere between 62 and 66.
Right.
Okay. Probably a lot of them right on that 66. Or I think a lot of people also right around the Medicare age of 65, because then they, okay, I'll quit work and I don't have to worry about finding health insurance. I'll go straight to Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's kind of the overview. And, you know, I know that there are different political opinions, and we won't make this a political subject for you and me, Wade, but there's been a lot of, you know, I'm going to say, I don't know. I don't want to be too strong about it, but I will use the word once and we'll move on. A little bit of demonizing of anybody that suggests that you, you know, get more out of Social Security than somebody else. But, you know, that's politics. And, you know, again, people are using the legitimate strategies that are available. But some of these are being taken away. And what it really is forcing people to do is to reevaluate. Now, they're not pulling the rug out from underneath existing Social Security beneficiaries, are they? I mean, if you're already taking advantage of some of these techniques, you can still do it, correct?
Right, that's right. Anyone who's already done it will be grandfathered in. And as well, anyone who's reaching their full retirement age by May 1st the next year.
Okay.
So reaching age 66 will be.
Okay, so you still have, there's some transition opportunities. But for somebody who's maybe in their late 50s, early 60s, and they've done some, and we've done this, I will tell you, Wade, you know, I've done this working with clients, looking at these different strategies. You know, we're going to need to go back and revisit those strategies where we were going to be using some of these, what we'll call more advanced techniques of delaying, you know, filing and suspending, drawing spousal benefits off of the other person while they have suspended their benefits, kind of this flip-flopping around. We're going to have to go back and revisit all that with our planning.
Right. And what's at stake for people who were able to pull off one of these strategies is about 4 years worth of a spousal benefit that you used to be able to get will be gone. So that for a higher earning individual, that could be anywhere from $10,000 to $12,000 a year for a 4 year period that they may have planned into their budget, but that will not be available if they're sufficiently young at this point.
Right. So they have to, I mean, they're not, again, that's where I think the point is made that it's not pulling the rug out from underneath them. So, you know, that they have some time to do a course correction. And
Of course,
planning is all about, right?
Yeah, and $10,000 to $12,000 is a lot of money, of course. Although for a wealthier individual who tend to be the ones who are going to use this sort of strategy, it's not going to really derail the entire retirement plan.
Well put.
This is a public policy risk.
I love your way of describing it that way. Have you addressed all of your risk in your portfolio? Have you considered public policy risk? Because I mean, it's like every time you turn around, there's another risk that people always have to keep in mind. Wade Fowle, ladies and gentlemen, PhD and Chartered Financial Analyst, Professor of Retirement Income over at the American College. We're going to grab a quick break and we'll come right back with the retirement researcher. Stay right there. We'll rejoin you in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Teresa Ram with the Volusia Flagler YMCA. Our YMCA has 6 locations to help your family reach their health and fitness goals. Kids who play sports at the Y learn more than just the game. The programs provide positive, fun activities that build athletic, social, and interpersonal skills, which lead to better behavior, healthier lifestyles, and even improved academic achievement. For more information on how your Y can help with your health and wellness goals, check out www.vfymca.org.
And we are back. Wade Fowle on the line with us, PhD, CFA, retirementresearcher.com. That's the website, and lots more good stuff over at Wade's website there on the subject of Social Security and many other subjects, by the way. So we've got to revisit our strategies then, Wade, and I think that, you know, for a lot of people that try to plan ahead, you know, the things I tell people is, look, realize this, that any financial plan, no matter how well you've put it together, how well you've planned ahead, and how good your advisor or financial planner, financial plans are best carved in jello, not in stone, because something's going to change. And here's an example of how you need to adapt and adjust.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it's well put and well considered. One of the things that then now has become really, I suppose it would be fair to say that Social Security planning techniques and some of the thought process that's needed to do this, would it be fair to say it's gotten a little simpler in light of these changes?
Right. Social Security is still complex, and it's still really valuable to run, use software, good software that can develop a good claiming mm-hmm. strategy. But indeed, these changes do make it simpler. And this is something that's only been around since 2000 as well.
Okay.
So it's not like overturning the entire history of Social Security with this.
So it was basically a 15-year period that existed where, and some people use the word loophole. I'm not sure if I'm comfortable with that term, but this was originally designed, some of the features that people took advantage of or used to their benefit were actually really designed to allow people to work longer. I mean, it was well intended, right?
Right. It was to encourage people to work longer and to then not have to sacrifice their Social Security benefits to continue work.
Well, here's what's interesting to me about all of this, and I'd love to get your experience perspective on this, Wade, is does this give us some hope that Congress and whoever the president is at the time, that they actually can do some things, work together, believe it or not, work together and make meaningful changes to Social Security to save it and preserve it so that it remains a resource for generations to come?
Well, I do try to remain optimistic, and hopefully there is some indication about that. This has been something that's been on the agenda for a long time, and really both political parties could favor it for different reasons, but they could come together where they have a different reason for wanting to make this change, but it kind of matches up in this case, and that will
I'm going to hold out hope. I'm going to hold out hope, Wade, that this is a good sign that they can... Doggone it, can't we all just get along? I'm a hold out hope that that's what the case is and that, you know, that this is indicative. And there was a statistic I know you cited in one of your articles about the cost or the savings, I guess, if you will, of kind of restructuring and eliminating some of these strategies. We're talking about some projections into the future. What was the dollar amount?
There was a study done through the Boston College Center for Retirement Research that it was more of a future, mm-hmm. should these strategies become widely used, it might cost the trust fund about $10 billion a year. Although the cost today is nowhere near that because these strategies were not commonly used. So that was more, should these become widespread, that would be the impact. The impact is much smaller today.
Okay. So there's a little reality check there. Yeah, I will say that I do get amused when there are projections out in the future on how much we're going to save in the future. And they sound really good right now, but we're not saving it today. I think the distill that down, Wade, that, you know, that again, there are, this is just one example of things, and there are a lot of other things that can be done to preserve. And I had actually written an article recently myself where I had done some research according to the Social Security Administration, and two-thirds of Social Security beneficiaries, Americans, two-thirds of them over age 65, Social Security accounts for 50% or more of their income on a monthly basis.
Yeah, absolutely. Another really interesting, even easier number is that 70% of people 70 and older receive 70% of their income from Social Security.
Yeah, I like yours better. It is easier. Thank you. Mine requires me to get not a PhD, but maybe some sort of advanced degree to be able to explain it. Yeah, yours is a lot easier. 70 over 70 over 70. But I think that really is indicative of the practical reality that this system, this Social Security, I just don't see it going away.
No, and it doesn't have to go away, and that's where I think there's a lot of misunderstanding amongst the public, that even with the projections from the Social Security Administration, if the trust fund is depleted, there's still going to be new contributions flowing in that would be able to pay approximately around 75% of the currently legislated benefit levels.
Right. That's right, and that's pretty substantial, and I know you made reference to this, which is kind of the underpinning of this whole discussion about Social Security and government and taxes and politics and all that, that one of the observations, which I thought was really, really astute on your part, in one of your articles you wrote, that the headlines about Social Security, the articles, are written by the editors and not by the people, the authors that wrote them, and that there's a lot of inflammatory, get your attention headline remarks, but then once you start digging a little deeper, you know, it's a more thoughtful conversation or discussion of the topic.
Right, and I've fallen victim to that as well, where I'll write something and the headline is much more inflammatory than the contents of the actual article.
Oh, no. Yeah, I'm actually on a little bit of I feel like I'm being a little bit of an enforcer sometimes on LinkedIn, where I get out there and I see somebody's written something rather inflammatory, and it's usually something way too provocative about how some particular product will, you know, save your life or, you know, something else, and I get really kind of aggravated with it, and I feel like I'm being LinkedIn policeman or something. And so, yeah, I'm as equally observant as that as you are, but I think to the point that, you know, people always have to, you know, take a little bit more time to read the subject and understand more, because this is, as you said earlier, you know, there is different perspectives, and depending on, you know, what somebody's agenda is, in this particular case, the sides matched up on wanting to do something, so it got done.
Mm-hmm.
But very often, it's fodder for the political cannon, unfortunately. So, well, I tell you what, it's really interesting stuff, Wade. Let's grab another quick break. We'll come back with Wade Fowle, ladies and gentlemen, PhD and Chartered Financial Analyst, Professor of Retirement Income over at the new PhD program for Financial and Retirement Planning at the American College, Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. And he's also got the website, retirementresearcher.com. Stay right there. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Do you know how to get the most from your Social Security? Don't let a simple mistake prevent you from receiving all the benefits you've earned. Certified financial planner David Holland recently showed a retiring couple how they could enjoy an extra $84,000 in Social Security benefits over their expected lifetime. Wow! Call Holland Financial today for your one-on-one appointment to get your free Social Security analysis. No cost or obligation. David can give you a free analysis and show you the optimal age to start drawing Social Security so you can maximize your benefits. No cost or obligation. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back. Lucky us, Wade Fowle on the line with us, retirement researcher, and that's also the website, retirementresearcher.com. And Wade is a PhD and CFA and contributing regularly to the body of knowledge about financial planning, retirement income planning especially, and we're glad to have him back. Let's turn our attention a little bit, if you don't mind, Wade, to looking at Social Security a little differently. A lot of times people look at Social Security strictly as a, you know, it's a income program, and as we stated earlier, the number of people that rely on it is very significant. Is there an argument that could be made that we should look at Social Security, you know, as an investment? I know that you wrote about that in Forbes. You know, give us a little perspective maybe of how we should look at it. Should we look at it differently? Should we look at it as an investment?
Well, I think when you sit down and actually look at it as an investment, it actually does look like a pretty good investment. But more generally, I think it can be dangerous to try to think about it in, as an investment, just the behavioral and psychological reasons of there's going to be a break-even age that delaying Social Security is going to pay off if you live mm-hmm. to at least your early 80s.
Yeah.
And then if you start thinking about it like that, though, that gets people worried they're not going to live that long.
Yeah,
but really,
exactly.
Increasingly, like to try to have some sort of slogan, it's like you should plan to live, not plan to die. Mm-hmm. And it's, if you delay Social Security, that's going to be very advantageous to you should you live into your 80s and beyond. Whereas if, unfortunately, you don't make it that long, that does make your retirement much cheaper. And, yeah, technically, you would be better off having delayed Social or claimed earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, you could afford your retirement because it ended up not being so expensive anyway.
Amen. Amen to that. You know, I wrote an article recently about that myself. I gave like the five reasons to take Social Security early. You know, everybody talks about delaying, and there are, of course, as you very well know, very good reasons to delay. But there's also a lot of situations where it makes sense to take it early. And one of them is obvious. If everybody in your family never makes it past 70 and, you know, you're not in the best of health yourself, then there's no crime. The Social Security police are not going to come get you if you take Social Security early.
Yeah, and I think if you have a valid medical excuse that hopefully is coming more from a doctor's opinion rather than your own personal opinion, that is a valid reason. Although keep in mind that it's the higher earner in the household, their benefit will last for as long as both members in a couple, as long as one of them is alive mm-hmm. because of the survivor benefits as well. So you want to consider not just your own health, but also your spouse's health.
Yeah, that's well put, Wade. That's definitely something to consider. And you know, the other thing that's interesting to me when you talk about, you know, how to view Social Security, it is kind of like a joint life annuity in that, as you just said, it's going to continue on and there's going to be a reduction at the first death of a couple, first person in the couple, but the higher beneficiary's payment is going to continue. That's a lot like you've put in a created annuity by paying a lump sum for this life annuity. And what's really interesting about it is you've been doing that every paycheck, and your various employers over your working career have matched you 100% on the dollar for what you put in, they put in.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds a little bit like an investment.
uh-huh. Oh, yeah, and it's... So the age that you claim Social Security between 62 and 70, it's supposed to be fair in the sense that it shouldn't matter. If you wait an extra year, you'll have fewer years of benefits, but your benefit's larger, and that
right.
should balance out. But those rules were created in 1983. Since then, interest rates have come down a lot,
right.
and people continue to live longer. So the combined impact of that is that today, in this low interest rate world where people are living longer, it really is, it's not a fair calculation. You're on average, you're going to benefit by waiting, not mm-hmm. by claiming early.
Oh, you're right. I mean, there are definitely, you know, and ways and reasons. You know, the thing that probably, I'm sure you would agree with, Wade, is, you know, the software might spit out an answer that says, hey, here's the best strategy. But each person, of course, has to evaluate their individual situation. And there are, I could give many examples of situations where somebody would be better off taking it early versus mm-hmm. later. But, you know, it really comes down to what you said of you know, the timing of it and getting more by waiting or, you know, getting it earlier and you're going to get less. And when you look out from your vantage point, Wade, I have to ask this. I'm kind of being a little bit indulgent here, but I'd like your perspective. You know, what do you think some of the likely, and I'm not going to hold you to it, but what do you think some of the likely resolution or strategies that might be done by our elected officials to try to improve and avoid that situation where only, say, 75% of Social Security benefits will be paid out by the trust fund in 20 years or so, whatever the projection is? What do you think are some actual, real, viable options to really reinforce Social Security so it can continue to provide the benefits that are promised and projected right now?
Well, yeah, I think the most likely outcome is going to be a repeat, really, of the last major reform was mm-hmm. in 1983, and that was when the retirement age is still, we're still seeing the effects of that reform, but the retirement age is slowly increasing from 65 up to 67 for people born in 1960 and later.
Yeah.
And the payroll tax increased as well.
Okay.
And I would just expect something like that in the future. I would expect by the time people in their 30s or even early 40s get to retirement, the full retirement age from Social Security could be edging up towards 70.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe with a percentage or two increase in the payroll tax rate, or increasing the cap so that this year I think it's $118,000 of income
is
taxable to Social Security. Increasing that number, maybe increasing the payroll tax a little bit, and increasing the retirement age, I would expect would be the most likely reforms that we'll see.
I would agree with you, Wade. I think those are all very reasonable possibilities. And you know, the one that I would add is, which is would be very interesting to see how it's received, is also pushing out this earliest date that you could draw from 62 to maybe 63. Also have it slide as the full retirement age slides out further. Maybe it slide, because that's where I think a lot of the cost for Social Security comes from, is in that early election. So maybe sliding it out to Medicare age of 65 ultimately may, I mean, these are all possibilities, but we'll have to see what plays out. But there are options to keep it in place. So bottom line to listeners out there, you know, I think they can continue to count on it, but they need to pay attention and we need to update their plans as we go forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, increasing that early retirement age could play a role in the future. Mm-hmm. But as the full retirement age increases, the amount of benefits somebody gets at 62 will continue to decrease because there's more of that penalty. You're taking it even further away from your full retirement age and getting a smaller and smaller benefit.
That's a great point, Wade. I had overlooked that. Excellent. Very good, Wade. Wade Powell, ladies and gentlemen, PhD, Chartered Financial Analyst. And we're super happy to have him back, retirementresearcher.com. Wade, thank you, sir. Thanks for the update, and we'll do it again soon.
Okay, great. Yeah, it's always a pleasure talking to you.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.